This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Here at Real News Now, we're talking with Professor Regina Lawrence from the School of Journalism and Communication at the University of Oregon. And among other titles, Regina, you run our campus up in Portland. I'm down at our main campus in Eugene, and you have a portfolio of academic credentials that we don't need to talk about here, because what I want to chat about is the research work that you do regarding political news. And in this attempt to help us all sort out what is real news and what is misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, certainly political news rises in our current era to the heights of where there are problems. So for news consumers, can you provide us some guideposts? How do we know when a politician is lying? Aren't they all lying all the time?
Well, that's a good question right there, isn't it? I used to teach a class in public opinion, and I would invite my students to think about the difference between, you know, lying and manipulation and leadership. And it turns out that leadership might also require some communicative skills, shall we say, in framing or maybe even, you know, changing of how you present information. So I think the difference is when politicians are trying to manipulate the public, what we mean by that is that they're trying to lead the public someplace the public would not otherwise want to go, right?
Sure.
That,
there are two aspects here, right? So there's the credibility that comes from, is the politician being square? And then there's the news reporting aspect. What are news reporters, or what we might say people posing as news reporters, doing with what the politicians say, and then affecting us as we try to interpret events?
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's what's so challenging is that, you know, all of the events that are happening, say, in Washington, D.C. on a given day are kind of, you know, many of them are being discarded as non-news, even though they may indeed be very important, but they don't meet journalists' standards for, you know, newsworthiness, because they might not have enough drama, they might not have enough conflict in them, et cetera. They might seem too arcane. And then the things that do get covered kind of get squeezed through that prism, that filter of, again, journalistic storytelling and the ways that journalists like to frame politics in terms of, again, drama and competition, sort of personalizing politics in a way that I think amplifies the negativity that people already associate with politics and with the federal government in particular. So you have kind of a double whammy. You have politicians that are not always being totally straightforward in what they say. And then you have journalists that are kind of, you know, adding that layer of, you know, a sense of skepticism, a sense that they're all trying to manipulate us. It's kind of a basic stance for covering Washington politics, is that you just cover it in terms of this assumption, you know, that that politicians are trying to manipulate the public.
But you're using the term, and yes, to what you just said, I'm appreciating it and understanding it, but you're using the term journalist in what sounds like a default position that these are fair, reasonable people trying to report the news. And don't we have then still a third category? We have the politicians, the journalists, and then the posers. And that is problematic in the current era. People who are referring to themselves as journalists and creating the impression that they're journalists, but they are propagandists, or to be more straightforward, they're liars and cheaters and manipulators. And so how does that factor into what a news consumer must do to try to be an educated, aware, informed person?
Yeah, you know, this is such a tough question. So let me, I'll maybe start by just quickly saying, I think you're absolutely right. There's no doubt about it that now there's this new class of people that kind of look like journalists on TV, especially, right? Because they do all the things that maybe a mainstream network does in terms of, you know, the production values, kind of what the show looks like. but the actual content is, you know, doesn't follow any standard journalistic values or standards at all, right? And so the best example, the clearest example we have of that right now is OAN, which by any objective ranking would fall way over on the right end of the spectrum, and not only for, you know, leaning heavily conservative and favoring kind of conservative Republican talking points, but also for just, again, not following any particular journalistic standards and even sometimes peddling falsehoods, right? You know, just kind of passing along stuff that is patently false. So we've got that category, and that's super problematic because for people who are drawn to that type of quote unquote news, it's not going to do to just say to them, well, you know, that's not real news, right? Like, that's not going to be persuasive for people who are already drawn to that kind of content anyway.
Exactly. So what is the answer? What do we, you in particular, in terms of political news, suggest to try to balance this propaganda, these lies?
It's a very tough question. And that gets us to kind of another category that we haven't talked about. I think that mainstream journalism, quote unquote, is now very different than it once was. And there are many more kinds of outlets, and there is more freedom for journalists to be a little bit more opinionated, especially when they get on social media. So that means that the middle, so to speak, mainstream news has also become a little more complicated to navigate. But it also means that there are a lot more places that you can go for news and information today than there once were. And there's a lot of smart people out there doing journalism, and it may not look exactly like super mainstream, conventional, you know, kind of Associated Press, you know, style of, you know, right down the middle journalism, but they're smart people and they're producing smart work. So I think that the information environment is way more complicated for people to navigate these days than it once was. And even if you're not, you know, out there on the fringes somewhere, just that whole middle territory, so to speak, there's a lot of options. But I hear young people all the time, you know, in my classes or when I give talks, they will say to me, you know, what, I don't know who to trust. I don't know where to go. Where do I go for my information?
And what is your answer to that?
I always tell them, you know what, there isn't really an easy answer. I can tell you what I like to pay attention to and why, but that doesn't mean that that will feel right or appealing to you, right? So it is a challenging thing. So I normally, there's two things I would suggest. One is if, and this is not a visual medium that we're on right now, so I'll just have to refer to a media bias chart that's produced by an organization called Ad Fontes Media.
Okay, and before you do that, I just must inject here as I'm trying to see how to put this, being in love with radio, that in fact, it is a visual medium. In fact, it's the most visual medium because I can push into your brain, speaking of disinformation, anything I want to. And because it's all audio, you're going to see what I say. But that's another issue for another time. I just wanted to make it clear that radio or audio is such a visual medium. Now, back to your chart, which we can't see.
Which is the chart that we can't, that I could not succeed in pushing into your brain, but I would recommend that your listeners might want to look at it. It's one example of how to sort of map this complex media environment that we're in today. So what they do is sort of place a whole bunch of different kinds of news outlets on a chart that, again, maps both for kind of ideological leaning, measurable ideological leaning, but also, you know, how much do they just concentrate on original fact reporting, and, you know, do they offer analysis? Do they offer opinion? Do they veer into misleading information? fabricated information. So I think a visual chart like that these days is actually something like that is very helpful for people. But again, if you're inclined toward one or the other extreme in terms of, you know, your taste in news ideologically, you're going to look at this and you're going to say, well, that's just you trying to give me propaganda, Dr. Lawrence.
Yeah. So if somebody does wish to look at this chart, which you consider is credible, how do they find it?
What would be the best way for me to describe this? The organization is ADFONTES Media, Ad Fontes Media. And I offer that only because it is pretty comprehensive, and I like that they're very clear about their criteria for their placement. Because these days, of course, we all have opinions about the news media, right? And we make claims all the time, like the public and politicians make claims all the time about the media. And the fact is, there is no one the media these days.
Of course not.
So many outlets out there and so many kinds of voices.
And in many respects, that can be rich as long as, in a positive sense, as long as we have the tools to differentiate that which we feel comfortable believing and that which we decide is whatever we want to call it, propaganda. And that's the purpose of this series, is to try to help us all figure that out. So before we say goodbye, do you have any tools for where that breakpoint is? If there are what we would consider legitimate journalists, if you and I would consider them legitimate journalists, trying their best to do everything they can to report the news thoroughly, even if they inject opinion into it. And then there are those who are flat out liars, propagandists, out to deceive for whatever reason, either their own entertainment or because they're in the employ of someone trying to influence public opinion. Are there tools that you can suggest to help make that differentiation? Because there are so many devices, as you suggested earlier, to make that which is propaganda look legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it can be challenging for the average news consumer, so to speak, to necessarily know the difference. You and I know because we study, and in your case, you do a lot of journalism, a lot of writing and creating, and you know, these radio shows and podcasts that you're doing. So you kind of have a sense of how to distinguish quote unquote real journalism from, you know, the posers, as you put it. And so, you know, we look for things like, is the outlet or is the journalist actually sort of breaking an original story, for example, right? Are they going out and gathering facts about a story, or are they just accepting talking points from whatever powerful people, powerful entities? And let's be honest, mainstream journalism has struggled with this as well. Lots of daily mainstream journalism has survived on basically, you know, taking the talking points of powerful people and turning them into daily news. So it's not like, you know, the mainstream media are, you know, a perfect source of information. And this is especially true, we really need to mention, with respect to issues around race and class, et cetera, where the mainstream media have been steeped in kind of a very white-based notion of what objectivity looks like, and have not been a friendly place for journalists of color to work and to tell stories. And that's a huge reckoning, as you know, that's happening in journalism right now. So the point isn't that, you know, there's some shiny, perfect mainstream media that people should be going to and paying attention to. It's like we have different levels of imperfection and we have an imperfect set of outlets and voices that are trying to stick to journalistic standards. They're trying to uncover new facts. They're trying to really inform the public, not necessarily persuade the public, right? And then we've got a lot of other entities and voices that aren't following those standards.
So what I'm hearing you say, and it makes sense, is that there is, in today's environment, no firm line where we can say those are the good guys and those are the bad guys. And the onus is on all of us as news consumers to inform ourselves based on our experiences watching the news in whatever way we do, and seeing if those providers over time prove to be telling us what at least they think the truth is. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. And I think news consumers, one thing they can look for is there an honest effort to represent more than one perspective in a particular news story or in an evening broadcast or whatever it might be? If there seems to be an honest effort to really understand what different perspectives are on a story or on an issue, I think that's a basic standard that many of us could agree to, that we appreciate that, that we want to go to the news because we want to learn what other people might think and how other people might see these issues.
Regina Lawrence, professor here at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication and our associate dean in charge of our Portland campus. Thank you for helping us try to navigate these troubled and difficult waters that are so important to all of us worldwide.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.